This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Tyler Donaldson and Whitney Pittman. Following a full convention program and policy debate, National Farmers Union delegates approving six priorities for the coming year. They include fairness for farmers, family farming in the 2024 Farm Bill, family farming in the Farm Safety Net, family farming and conservation, family farming and dairy policy reform, and support for the cooperative business model and the International Year of Cooperatives. And the National Farmers Union Convention wrapped up yesterday. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
National Farmers Union Vice President and Aberdeen, South Dakota farmer Jeff Kipley says Farm Bill dominated much of the discussion at this year's event.
Yeah, I think, the things that we're really pushing for are things we've been pushing for a while, a stronger safety net for farmers across the country, whether that be a strengthened reference price or strengthened crop insurance or a combination of those two. That's probably our number one issue on our Farm Bill. And then things like country of origin labeling, if we can get that put in there. That's definitely a goal of ours as well.
Now, had an opportunity to hear from EPA and some other speakers. What were some of the highlights from that?
You know, something that EPA did for us here in the last 6 months or so is that they wrote a letter really establishing or strengthening our position and right to repair. Manufacturing companies were saying that if they gave us the right to repair, we would farmers would mess up and go against the Clean Air Act. Instead, EPA wrote a letter in support of right to repair, stating that in order for farmers to maintain their equipment properly for Clean Air Act, they should have the right to repair. And so that was kind of a big focus of the EPA's talk today.
All right. Anything else from convention to mention here before we let you go?
It's just always a great opportunity to get together with so many farmers and great people from across the country and just hear about what their concerns are. And we're looking forward to the next year and battling this Farm Bill.
All right. And of course, serving another term as vice president, anything in particular that you're looking forward to getting accomplished on that front?
You know, membership's a big goal of ours. We're one of the few membership organizations that have been able to keep continuing increasing membership over the last handful of years. This year alone, we increased our membership by over 12,000, which is just a great thing for us. So we're going to continue to push on the membership front.
Coverage of the 122nd National Farmers Union Convention in Scottsdale was made possible by the South Dakota Farmers Union, Minnesota Farmers Union, North Dakota Farmers Union, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. I'm Whitney Pittman, reporting agriculture's business for the Red River Farm Network.
At the National Farmers Union Convention, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced a new rule for the product of the finalized rule for the product of the USA label. For more, we go to Tyler Donaldson with the Red River Farm Network.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced that the USDA finalized a new rule for the voluntary product of the USA food label so that it now better aligns with consumer understanding.
I came to you last year and indicated that we were going to take a look at trying to create some consistency and transparency and predictability in terms of labeling. I told you we had a proposed rule, product of the USA. We received 3,300 comments about that rule. Today we're filing that final rule that was announced. We're encouraging adoption of that rule as quickly as possible. There's an extended period of time before formal implementation, but we are now on record as being for the utilization of that label only when the animal is born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the U.S.
Under this new rule, the product of the USA or made in the USA label will be voluntary and will also remain eligible for generic label approval, meaning it will not require pre-approval by USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service. According to Secretary Vilsack, this could not have been achieved without discourse between USDA and consumers.
The reason for this is quite simple. We surveyed consumers. We asked them the question, when you see this label, what do you think it means? Well, it means everything was done in the United States. Well, actually, that's not been the case. Then we ask the question, do you place a value on that? I mean, in other words, are you willing to pay a nickel or two more if that is on the list? Well, absolutely. We want to help our farmers. So in order for that value proposition to be respected, in order for there to be fairness and honesty and proper representation in the marketplace, it's important to have rules like this.
That was Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The United States District Court Chief Judge Peter Welty sentenced Buxton, North Dakota farmer Darren Wade Tronson to 1 year probation for concealing a material fact in a matter within jurisdiction of the government of the United States. That sentence revolves around the final pending case against Tronson related to his potato farming operation. Tronson will forego a $272,000 crop insurance indemnity payment for 2019, pay $10,000 in restitution to the United States in connection with the settlement of his 2017 and 2018 potato crop insurance claims, and will be barred from all federal programs for 10 years, as well as serving 1 year of supervised probation. Traders and market analysts are expected to shift to weather. Bauer trading market analyst Ben Cash says there are pockets of weather concerns already.
There's some dry pockets here in the U.S. that we need to continue to watch. As we move into the early stages of planning and that, we're seeing some delays possibly down the Delta with very wet conditions there. And if we're looking further south down in South America, at center west Brazil, as well as center south, remains quite dry and warm the next, I'd say, 7 to 10 days here. I believe that March 21st to 25th is their best shot of rain, better potential. So pretty dry conditions from now until then for them. It's pretty stressful as well.
Cash says weather will become the big market mover going forward.
I would say we need to keep an eye on, the northern hemisphere weather. We're moving into our growing season planner is going to begin rolling in that, and I think that needs to become more of a major focus here going forward.
Brazil's crop supply agency, CONAB, lowering the corn and soybean production for their March report. Soybean production pegged at 146.9 million metric tons, down from 149.4 million tons in February. Corn production estimated at 112.7 million tons, with second crop corn production pegged at 87.3 million tons. Total corn production down a million tons from the February estimate. Corn and wheat markets followed each other in Tuesday's trade. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman says each commodity has its own fundamentals.
I think we had an upside reversal on the wheat market like 3 weeks ago, and corn followed up about a week later. So, wheat was kind of the leader and helped corn make that move. But I think the thing that's been holding the wheat market back is, you look at the winter wheat crop condition ratings, and they're pretty good for this time of the year. They were mostly unchanged in yesterday's report, but we've seen a couple cancellations from China for 2 days, 504,000 metric ton. Turkey also came in and canceled 150,000 metric ton of durum. So, that kind of limits the upside here in the short term. Then you've got cheaper priced wheat in Russia as well.
And the market also appeared to have hit stop orders.
We've seen a pretty good move here as of late, or at least a supportive move. And you got to have some buying interest and some short covering to keep that market moving higher. So a lower volume day there as well. And I think the big thing in soybeans today, sharply higher, but CONAB cut their production estimates by 2 million metric ton, and that's down to 146.8. That's well below USDA's number of 155 million metric ton. So that's supportive to the soybeans. And then you look at the technical side of things, we're still above the 20-day moving average. So a pretty good day as far as the soybeans go.
Soybean markets were the leader in the grains yesterday. AgMarket.net analyst Jacob Burks says technical trading also helped push that market higher.
We did trade through the 50-day moving average, which is pretty significant. And after we went through there, then the markets just kind of seemed to take off a little bit more. So you come in last Friday and show a record short position from the funds. And if these guys are starting to pull back like we were hoping and thinking, and this is what's giving us the extra little boost here this week and into, especially into today.
Minnesota's Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, AURI, announcing the election of two new board members and the re-election of one board member. Trinity Creek Ranch owner Michaela Tabor from Red Lake County and Nobles County farmer Ted Winter have been elected to the AURI board. Cottonwood, Minnesota farmer Carolyn Olson has been re-elected to that board. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. California company making sustainable aviation fuel out of grease and animal fat, waste used cooking oil. World Energy Renewable Aviation Fuels is described by Playmaker Strategies CEO Larry Schaefer as the world's first producer of sustainable aviation fuels.
So today, sustainable aviation fuels are made out of lipids or oils, right? So you go to McDonald's, you order a bunch of good French fries. My kids love them. We take that grease and we turn that into sustainable aviation fuels, and that's the process that we use. Animal fats is another source of that. There are oils across the globe that can be used, but today we use restaurant grease and animal fats for the transformation into sustainable aviation fuels.
Schaefer says fuels produced by World Energy have lower carbon scores that help produce carbon capture credits.
Gallon of sustainable aviation fuel looks and acts like a gallon of jet fuel, of Jet A, if you will, except that it has dramatically lower carbon, right? That's what the marketplace wants, is a lower carbon fuel. So we take that carbon and we go talk to companies like Microsoft and to DHL and to other companies that are out there that are in the process of trying to lower their carbon footprint across the board as well. And so there's value for that. And so we generate a carbon certificate to allow them to use that credit to show the world that they have a lower carbon footprint.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning. We are lower all the way across the board here in the grains, pulled down by the soybeans. Right now, May wheat Minneapolis, 5 1/4 lower, 666 3/4. September's down 4 3/4. Chicago May wheat's down 2 3/4 at 544 3/4. And Kansas City May wheat down 7 at 590 1/4. May corn is down 2 cents, 439 3/4. July down 2 at 451 3/4. New crop December down 1 3/4 at 471. May soybeans down 11 3/4, 11.84 1/4. August is down 10 3/4 at 11.92 3/4. New crop November down 10 1/4, 11.77. In Winnipeg, May canola down $3.60 a metric ton, 6.24.10 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the 2024 International Sugar Beet Institute show kicks off this morning in Grand Forks at the Alaris Center. I believe the doors open like at 9 o'clock. Grand Farm Field Day preview today as well from 9 till noon at NDSU's Agronomy Seed Farm in Castleton. The Transportation Go Conference, that is put on by the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance. That takes place today and tomorrow at the Renaissance Toledo Downtown Hotel in Toledo, Ohio. Minnesota Livestock Breeders Association will be holding their 127th annual meeting March 14th, tomorrow, at the Doubletree Hotel in Roseville, Minnesota. The South Dakota State University Extension hosting a 3-day estate planning and farm succession conference, the final one coming up March 19th. That'll be at the South Dakota State University Extension Watertown Regional Center. Also coming up, the Ag Day Gala coming up. That'll be on the March 19th at the North End Event Center at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a good Wednesday. This is the Red River Farm Network.